cause you know.
Well, good morning. It's exciting to be here with you this morning. My name's Jared. As Julie mentioned, I'm usually the worship pastor here. But today, I get the honor and privilege of teaching you from God's Word. And we just started this brand new series last week called The Good Work. And we're in the book of Nehemiah. And man, Nehemiah was the real deal. Nehemiah was a man who was used by God for the good work. And what we're going to look at today in his story is why God was able to use him so powerfully to do such a good work. And it was because he was, here it is right here. This is the point of our message today. Nehemiah was spiritually healthy. Okay, Nehemiah, he was on the spiritual keto diet. He was pumping spiritual iron 7 days a week. Nehemiah was spiritually healthy, and that's why God was able to use him to do such a good work. If you want to do a good work for God, you've got to be spiritually healthy, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. And the truth is, if we want to be spiritually healthy, we've got to be close to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity, God, to come before you humbled, Lord. And who am I, God? Just speak through me today, Lord. Don't let me get in the way of the truth you have for these people, for these individuals who are in here. It's not by accident. It's by your providence, God. Would you speak to us? Would you change our hearts? Would you challenge us to be spiritually healthy, God, so we can be in a place where we can do the good work that you have for us? God, move within this place. Be with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Injustice is something that's a reality in our world. We live with a lot of injustice that goes on. There's people all over our world that are killed just for what they believe in. There are people in parts of our world who are traded as sex slaves. There are children in parts of our world that are starving. Injustice is a part of our reality. And injustice is something that we see quite often in the headlines, in the news articles. Injustice is something that is around all the time. And if we're really honest with ourselves, a lot of times we don't necessarily, we'll get sad about it for a moment. We'll see injustices going on and we'll say, man, that makes me so sad. Man, someone should really do something about that. But rarely do we get involved ourselves. Rarely do we implement ourselves into an injustice we see. Now we see Nehemiah, he heard of this injustice. He saw this injustice that was being done, and it completely breaks him. Last week, look at chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Let's read it together. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, why would Nehemiah, he's in the citadel at Susa, he has nothing to do with Jerusalem, why would he care about people he doesn't know in a place he had never been? That's what we're going to ask ourselves today. It says he mourned for days, he fasted and prayed for months. Let me tell you why Nehemiah cared. Why he cared about people he didn't know in a place he had never been. It was because Nehemiah was close to God. And that's the first thing I want you to see today. Your proximity to God will determine your passion for people. Let me say that again. Write that down if you've got notes with you. Your proximity to God will determine your passion for people. Let me say that a little simpler. The closer you are to God, the more you are going to care for others. See, Nehemiah had this heart because he was close to God. And that's our first point today. If we want to be close to God, if we want to be spiritually healthy for the good work, we've got to seek God faithfully. We've got to seek God faithfully. 12 times, Nehemiah, we see him in this book praying and petitioning to God. See, this is different. This is not how we are naturally. We live in a selfish world. Our nation is a self-absorbed. We live in the selfie era. I mean, I know I have friends that their whole Instagram feed is just selfies. We live in a culture that promotes self. It's just you do what's best for you. You do what makes you happy. You do the best things for you. And see, that is not the life that God has called us to live. The reason Nehemiah cared so much about people he didn't know in a place he had never been was because he shared the heart of God. He had the heart of God inside him because he was seeking God faithfully. He was close to God. He had proximity to God. And so he shared the heart of God. You see, when we're close to God, we turn from our selfish nature. Confucius, a Chinese philosopher, he said, "Do not do unto others what you do not want done to you." Now, that's good advice, right? But if you look at the core of it, the heart of it, it's actually self-seeking. Well, I don't want that done to me, so I'm not going to do it to other people. If I just stay in my lane, people base their life off of that, off of Confucianism. See, but what Jesus said was better. Jesus said, no, do unto others what you want done to you. See how that's selfless? That is the heart of God, is selflessness. Nehemiah cared about these people because he was selfless. And he had that attribute because of his closeness, his proximity to God. We need to seek God faithfully. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Let's read it together. In the month of Nisan, wow, I could do some funny car jokes there. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, I can't even say that, I'm sorry. When wine was before him, I took up the wine and I gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad? Seeing you are not sick, this is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" Here we have Nehemiah, the cupbearer. He's the cupbearer to the king. And listen, this was a pretty sweet gig. He had some good perks. When you were a cupbearer to the king, you basically were a really close friend of the king. You got to taste all the wine before he tasted it. You got to taste all the good food. You were living in the palace. You were living pretty comfortably. And Nehemiah could have so easily turned a blind eye to the Jewish people and their suffering. But because he was seeking God faithfully, he couldn't bear to just live comfortably while others were suffering. Here we see him risk his position and his possessions for God's purpose and passion. This was a big deal. Notice it says when the king asked him, why was he sad? He was afraid. Back then, you had to be happy in the king's presence. You didn't bring bad news to the king. You didn't get sad in front of the king. The king would be like, "Hey, dude, why are you're killing the palace vibe with your sadness?" And the king wasn't cool with that. You could lose your head for this. And here we see Nehemiah. He's so broken for these people. He can't just live in his comfortable life and let these other people suffer. And so he risks his position as the cupbearer and his possession, i.e. his head potentially, for God's purpose and passion. But in seeking God, God stirred Nehemiah to stand up and act. And last week we saw that. We saw that when he heard of this news, he sat down and he mourned. He hurt with these people. And then he knelt down and he prayed from the time of Kislev to the time of Nisan. 4 months, he fasted and he prayed. And God began to stir with him. And finally, now he's standing up to act. He was willing to risk his position and his possessions for God's purpose and passion. You know, I got a friend that was telling me he worked at a company, really big company, huge company, one of the biggest companies in the world. And he was working his way up the corporate ladder, if you will. And when he started out, man, he said he didn't care who he had to burn. He didn't care whose head he had to step on to climb this corporate ladder. It was all about his success and how high he could climb. And as he found Jesus and as God started to work in his heart, God started to do a stirring in him. And as he was being asked to do these things that he used to do at this company, it started to bother him. He started to actually care more about the people that were working under him than his position and how high he could climb this corporate ladder. And so God started to work on him, and he finally got to a place where he said, "You know what, enough's enough. I care more about these people than I do about my position and my possessions. You know what? I'll take a pay cut. I'll step down. I don't want to be up here. I'd rather be down here with these people." And he did. He actually stepped down out of his position, lowered himself because he was done. He had had enough. His priority changed from his position and his possessions to the people, to God's purpose and God's passion. And I love that. I love that Nehemiah has this heart too. Are we willing to do that, church? Are we holding on so tightly to what God's given us, to the positions we hold, to the possessions we have, that we're not willing to let go of them or risk them even for God's purpose and passion? Look at Nehemiah's response to the king when he says, what are you asking? He says, so I prayed to God. You see, when you're coming to church weekly, when you're studying God's word daily, when you're praying to God hourly, you are saturating yourself in his words, in his ways, and in his goodness. Your impulse will be to turn to God in all situations. You'll have his heart and his direction. What concerns God will concern you. Now listen, I'm not saying that every sad thing we hear, we just need to go all in on and risk it all, but let's at the very least stop and take a moment to hurt with these hurting people and pray for them. God may stir within you to get personally involved like he did here with Nehemiah. And listen, I'm not preaching at you guys, I'm preaching with you. I'm guilty. I've blown right past news articles that I've seen before that break my heart, but if I'm self-absorbed and I'm too busy with my own life and my own problems, I don't even think to take a moment to stop and hurt with someone and pray for them. As a matter of fact, I got that opportunity this week. I was overwhelmed because most of our staff was out of town and I had to teach, and it just happened to be the week my kids were on fall break and my wife works, so I had them with me the entire week, and man, let me tell you, it was a challenge to prepare for a sermon with a 6 and a 4-year-old with me the whole week. It was hard to find time to just get in the flow because it was constantly dad, dad, dad. And I'm like, just let me focus. So it was hard. But I'm so glad that God did this and God humbled me, because I had every reason to complain and say, God, why did it have to be this week when everything's going on? And so Saturday morning, I finally got time where my family, they're sitting in the back, they were in town and they were able to keep the kids for a little bit. So I had some time to focus, and I left Saturday early to just get away from the house and have some time with God. And it was like 6:50 in the morning. And I get a phone call, and it's an out-of-state area code, and I'm like, man, this is guaranteed a telemarketer or something. And I'm like, I just need time. But something inside me said, no, you need to answer this call. You need to answer this phone call. And so I did, and I answered it, even though I had every reason not to. I finally had some free time, but you got to allow God to interrupt your life. And when you're in the Spirit, you're keen to those things. Had I just been wallowing in self-pity and not been in the Spirit that morning, I probably would have just ended the phone call, but I answered it, and it was somebody who had a desperate need. It was somebody I knew who was in a broken place, and I'm so glad that I was in the Spirit, that I wasn't being selfish, that God had me in the Spirit to help this person, and I prayed for them. And I lifted them up, and I was used by God because God took me out of my selfishness, and I was being selfless in that moment because of God's goodness, not because of mine. I'm a ding-dong. I'm always being selfish. My wife will tell you before anybody, I'm a total weirdo. I'm a hypochondriac. I'm a bunch of things, but in this moment, God used me. If we're willing to allow God to interrupt our lives, to stop our selfishness and to turn us to be more like him, God may stir you to personally get involved in someone's problem. Look at verse 5. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. Man, Nehemiah had clear vision of what God specifically was calling him to do. He can say it in one sentence. Let me ask you something. Do you have clear vision today? Can you see what God's called you to today? You know, God has callings on our life, and there's a general calling God has for us, and that general calling is basically this, the Great Commission. Jesus said to go out into all the world, sharing the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples of men. That is a calling that we all bear. That's a calling, a general calling to all of us as Christians. And let me tell you something, you don't have to be some special person. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a church leader or some theologian. All you have to have is one requirement, that you yourself are a follower of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Your testimony, your personal story has power. Your personal story has power. What God's been able to do in and through you and in your life, what he's resurrected, God can use that. You don't have to be some expert on all things God. You just have to share your personal story. That's God's general calling for our lives. But God also has a specific calling for us. Did you know that God says he knew you before you were in the womb? Did you know that he says you are fearfully and wonderfully made? God has a specific calling for your life. There is something specific God wants to do with you. Every single one of you, God cares so much about us, and he has a specific calling. If your vision isn't clear, how are you going to specify that calling? I went on a hunting trip with Pastor Myron when I first moved here, And it was a fun time. I'm not an avid hunter by any means. I've gone a handful of times. I really enjoy it. It's a good time, no doubt about that. But I show up to his house and I'm excited and we're getting ready to go on this hunting. We're going to hunt deer. And I didn't have a tag or anything, so I was just gonna be a spotter for him. And so we get up and we're all excited and I come to his house and he's like, hey man, not to be weird or anything, but you're gonna have to take a shower and put this like scent odor gone stuff, wash with it and put deer. And I'm like, dude, what is going on? This is like hardcore. So he has me camo all up, and I'm all ready to go, and we get out there, and we're about ready to get up on this hill, and he says, okay, man, you're going to be my spotter, so you're going to go up on this hill, and you're going to look out for me, and you're going to see where the deer are, and you're going to text me and tell me they're coming through this ravine, and when you see them, let me know so I can go get down there by them. And anyway, me being the genius that I am, I was a spotter, and I forgot to put my contacts in that morning, so here I am looking with my binoculars at the top of the hill and I can't see anything. I mean, I can see about as clear as a brick wall. And so I'm useless as a spotter. And I actually thought I saw something. I thought I saw it moving and it had short little stubby legs. And I was like, man, I wonder if it looks like a pig. And I was like, but why would a pig be in the desert? I can't tell him that. He'll never bring me hunting with him again. And so I was like super nervous, but eventually I did find out there actually are javelinas out in the desert. I'm digressing, I'm sorry. But anyway, the point is, I was a spotter and I couldn't see clearly. I didn't have clear vision. I wasn't going to be able to tell him specifically what I've done. And see, we do the same thing. God has a specific calling on our lives. And if we don't have contact with God, if we don't seek him faithfully, if we aren't in close proximity to God, how can we see clearly what he's calling us to do? You can't. And if you can't define it, you can't do it. See, Nehemiah was able to say what the vision God had gave him in one sentence. It was clear. It was concise. He knew exactly what God was calling him to do. What does that look like for you? What could God specifically maybe be calling you to do? Maybe it's foster care. Maybe he's calling you to start a ministry. Maybe he's calling you to write a book. I don't know what that looks like for you. But I can tell you the only thing you're going to get clearly is if you're going to get specific clarity from God, if you're seeking him faithfully, if you're close with God, if you share his heart, he's going to start to make your vision abundantly clear. Look at verse 6 through 8. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. This brings us to our third point today. So we got to seek God faithfully. We got to set our sights clearly. And our third point, we got to strategize your plan diligently. Strategize your plan diligently. There's a basketball player, Steph Curry. I'm sure most of you have probably heard from him about him. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you don't play basketball. But anyway, just to give you a little background on who Steph Curry is, this is a young kid who had a vision that he was going to grow up to be one of the best basketball players that ever played. And he had a vision and he had a strategy that was different than anybody else in the history of basketball. He started shooting the ball from a distance that was ludicrous. He was shooting it from such a distance that nobody had ever attempted this. Nobody had ever tried this. And he spent so many countless hours of his life growing up as a kid just shooting over and over and over and over again. He was so determined. He was so focused. He was so diligent in his strategy. And it was something totally outside of the box thinking, something different he was going to do. And he literally flipped the NBA world upside down. He changed a culture. The NBA used to be all about these big, giant players, about centers, and now the NBA has completely flopped, and everybody's looking for the next Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a small guy. I mean, he's not small like me. I'm like 5'7". He's like 6'3". But still, for the NBA, he's small. But he changed a culture because he was so diligent in his strategy to do something different. Now, let me tell you this. It made me think, if someone can be that determined and that motivated to have that much effort and energy poured into something that ultimately means nothing, because basketball in the grand scheme of things means nothing as far as eternity goes. What if we had that same kind of determination? What if we strategized and planned that diligently to do something that means everything? to reach people for the hope of Jesus, to help restore broken marriages, to help addicts get off of their addiction. What if we band together and we planned like this and we were that dedicated? How could we change our culture from being a selfish culture to a selfless culture? Man, it got me thinking. I love my church. I love Compassion Church. And I couldn't help but think of Pastor Myron as I was studying the book of Nehemiah and I'm looking at Nehemiah. I couldn't help but think of our exact situation here at Compassion Church. Pastor Myron was seeking God faithfully. Him and his wife, Julie, they were seeking God and God gave them a clear vision and it was Arizona and they wanted to come here and they saw this church and it was old and decrepit and they said, this isn't good enough for our God. And God gave them vision to restore it and to revive it and to reach the people of Gilbert. And they planned and they worked and they were diligent. And now look at us today. Our church is succeeding. We're reaching people. There was a little girl that wrote a letter a week ago, and she said, I'm so thankful for Compassion Church. My family's together. My dad is doing so good because of this church. Guys, it's worth it. If there's anything that's worth giving your time and your dedication to, it's the cause of Christ. And that ultimately leads us to our last point today. Stake the claim passionately. Man, Pastor Myron, he gets up here and he spills his guts week after week, but it's because he's followed that same recipe for spiritual healthiness. He's done what Nehemiah has done. We've done that. We're catching fire. And, you know, I couldn't help but think in this last verse, let's pull it up, 17 and 18. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Man, I couldn't help but just think of like William Wallace in this moment as I was reading this in scripture. I just thought of William Wallace. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Braveheart, but at the very end, there's about to be the last battle, basically before they're all captured and killed. And he tells his men, he looks at them and he says, listen, this might be our one chance to tell these people that they may take our lives, but they will not take our freedom. And this is that moment for Nehemiah where he's strategized, he sought God, he's got clear vision, he has strategized, he's planned diligently, and now he's staking the claim passionately. And it motivates the Jewish people who had been in exile, whose city had been in ruins for 140 years. All of a sudden, this one guy who's spiritually healthy after 140 years, God uses him to do a good work and to help the people rise up and to rebuild their city. Church, why not us? Why not Compassion Church? Why can't a major revival start right here with these people in this room? Do you believe it, church? Are you awake? Are you excited about what God's gonna do? Because I am. I'm seeing God change lives. I'm seeing God radically get addicts off of addictions to drugs. I'm seeing fathers who abandon their homes, they're restoring their homes. God is moving powerfully and you can be a part of it. But you've gotta be spiritually healthy if you wanna do the good work, amen? Man, thank you so much for letting me share here with you guys today. But I want to say this. Maybe you came in here and you're like, man, what is this crazy guy getting up there? I'm like the weeping willow up here talking, crying. But the truth is, God did a major work in my life. I was lost. I was going down the wrong road. And God shook me. God humbled me. God brought me down and he said, no, I've got so much better for you. I've got such a better plan for you. But you need to be spiritually healthy, Jared, if I'm gonna use you. And so I was not spiritually healthy, but God did a work in me. And the reason I can stand up here today and preach this message to you is because I've lived it. I've seen God's power. I've experienced God's power. And maybe you're in here today and you feel hopeless. Maybe you're in here today and you feel like tomorrow is just too hard. Let me tell you something. God's not done with you. God can use you. God can lift you up. Your problem is nothing to God. He created the universe. And let me tell you something. God is the ultimate example. As good as an example as Nehemiah is of risking your or giving up your position and your possession for his purpose and passion, God's the ultimate example of that. God gave up his position in heaven. Jesus humbled himself to human flesh, came to this earth, and took the death we deserve upon ourselves. God the Father gave his most prized possession, his only begotten Son, for our sake. God's the ultimate example of selflessness. Church, we need to be selfless. We need to be spiritually healthy. We need to be seeking God faithfully. We need to be seeing his vision that he's given, a specific calling to us clearly. We need to be planning and giving all of our energy and effort and time to planning diligently for good, to do good things, to help people, not just ourselves. And then we can stake the claim passionately. The last thing I want to show you is this picture of these men. Man, if that doesn't motivate you or make you proud to be American, I don't know what will. But I love this picture. I love what it captures. This is a band of brothers at Iwo Jima. It was in the Civil War. They had fought together, and it was a deadly, deadly battle. And a couple of these men actually went on to die in the next few days. But they banded together. No matter the oppression that was coming at them, no matter how hard it was, they were staking the claim passionately and saying, hey, we're still here. We're still fighting. We still stand. That's what we should look like, church. We should be banding together, locking arms, and staking the flag of Christ, staking our claim passionately. And I don't know, for you guys, this really woke me up. Just studying for this teaching, it shook me up spiritually. And I hope it does the same for you. Because there's a lost, hurt, and broken world. And maybe you're one of those people today. Maybe you're hurt, lost, and broken. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. He can radically change your life. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And I want to give you that opportunity now. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this message, God. Who am I to give it, Lord? You know, I'm no better than anybody, Lord. I have my issues, but God, you use the foolish things of this world. And I thank you for that. God, if there's somebody in here today who's maybe struggling, maybe thinking there is no purpose, there is no calling on their life, God, would you wake them up today? Would you shake them up? Show them that you have a will, you have a calling on their life. There's something specific you created them to do, to accomplish. And they can find joy in it. They can find fulfillment in it. They can find peace in it. God, don't let them leave here today without having that. If that's you today, I want you to just pray this out. It's nothing magical. It's just a decision you're making in your heart. Just repeat this after me. God, I'm a sinner. Would you do a work in my heart? Would you begin to change me from the inside out, God? Help me to be spiritually healthy. Help me to turn from my sin. I believe you loved me so much, you came to this earth and you died for me. I want to turn from my old life and I want to live for you. I pray this and believe this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, what an awesome day. I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. I might be out of a job. The worship band killed it. I don't know if they're going to want me back next week, but I'm going to invite them back up and